First off, people are not numbers.
I think people need to see the stories.
Donnie had a situation that he was not in control of, frozen in that place.
Probably trying to get God's attention because, yeah. I mean, he's very terrified.
Once Donnie was able to get stabled out, his whole future changed.
When you see a smile from a face that you may have been scared of a week or two ago, but give them a little help and the reward you get, money can't buy that.
Shelly, you guys actually have some big news that you're going to be giving Donnie. Can you share with us what that is?
I'm about to cry. We're actually going to hire him.
He has earned that responsibility.
So for all of those who look down on those experiencing homelessness and they call on the lost cause, how many more Donnies are out there?
There's no telling.
Everyone is somebody's son, daughter, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother. And there was a time when that person was born when someone was overjoyed.
Hi, everyone. This is Tracy Lewis with We Are Winter Garden, and we are joined by Scott, Pastor Scott, who is the founder and CEO of Matthew's Hope, and Shelly Bradford, who is the president and executive director. Welcome to episode 64 of Straight Talk, No BS with Matthew's Hope, presented by Imagine Marketing. We're going to take you back to episode 49, which featured Donnie, a guest of Matthew's Hope, one of my favorites. Oh, wait, we don't have favorites. And on the other side, we will have an exciting update about Donnie's journey. So, Don, please tell us a little bit of your background, what your life was before you eventually found yourself homeless.
Okay, well, I'm actually from South Dakota.
Okay.
And from there, we moved on to Tennessee and Georgia. I attended local schools, no problems with mental illness, which I'm dealing with now.
Okay.
But I went on to college at Georgia State University, got my diploma.
Nice.
A week before I graduated the university, I was accepted into the Peace Corps.
Wow.
And they said, we have an assignment for you if you'd like to go. And I knew it was pretty competitive because I just had a Bachelor of Science. So I said, sure, I'd be glad to go. Where would you like me to go to? And they said, Mauritania. And I said, great, I'll go, but where is Mauritania?
Right.
And I was a geography minor.
Oh,
it's in Northwest Africa. And they said, yeah, you'll be there in a week.
Oh.
And so I went on to Mauritania and then on to Jamaica with the Peace Corps. And from there, I came back and I'd fractured an arm due to was working with a healthcare extension and actually got hit by, it was after Hurricane Gilbert. This is when I was reassigned to Jamaica. And, I was hit, the Mercy ship, it was there from England, and I was on a motorcycle, and we collided, so I broke my arm. That kind of ended my Peace Corps career. Wow. So when I came back and got it fixed, and I applied to United Airlines, which I started as a flight attendant, and my first base was Chicago. From Chicago, I went to Honolulu, and I was there for 12 years.
Okay.
Then basically my home, I started getting these manic episodes where I just kind of just take off. And that's where my illness is. It's called bipolar.
Okay.
Now they're treating it with a drug called Abilify, which Scott and them helped me get onto at Matthew's Hope.
Okay.
And it's a miracle drug with bipolar because it basically, I didn't mean to jump around, but
no, you're
basically one shot a month and I'm good. No pills. And this is something I've struggled with since United. And then after United, I went into real estate. And how I finished my last day at United, I was flying from Paris to Washington, Dulles. And I decided I had a manic episode, didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And went and sat in first class for the remainder of the flight.
Okay.
And and then I just walked away from the job. And that's kind of what manic does in the bipolar illness field, which is up until that time, and that was in my 40s.
Okay.
I ended up with Scott and him is, I was living at, Target in Orlando. They somehow allowed me several months to stay in their firewall or stairwell.
Okay.
And, so I was a bunch of guys say, hey, we're going up to, Pine Street to, they come out and, you know, they have lunch and you get some clothes and stuff like that. And I wouldn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. So I said, sure. So I had enough to walk up to Pine Hills with these other guys, and Scott and him were there in their mobile unit. And Scott came up and talked to me, said, hey, you know, here's some lunch for you. He said, can we got clothes too? I said, I'd really like to get a pair of jeans. And in thinking of it, this guy said, well, you know, we don't have any in your size, but if you come back next week, we'll see if we have some by then. I said, okay. So I came back in a week, and then sure enough, they had a pair of jeans that fit. And that's a big deal when you're on the street to get a, you know, a clean pair of socks and a pair of jeans.
You know, some I don't know if Donnie remembers this, but
probably not.
well, just as like Target's trying to realize that they had a tenant. but you know, we joke about it a little bit. But here's the seriousness of it also is that, you know, Donnie had a situation that he was not in control of. He was not able to get the care. And quite honestly, at that point in his life, he was just looking for some basic needs to be covered. Mm-hmm. But one of the cool things that happened was, is he came up to me. Some of our non-English speaking guests asked if they could have some Spanish Bibles. So we had ordered Spanish Bibles for them. And at this particular stop, we had a number of folks and we're giving them out. And Donnie comes up to me and says, What are you passing out there? Mm-hmm. And because he's a pretty avid reader, and I said, well, they're Bibles. I said, I'd be happy to give you one. And he goes, no thanks, and he goes back and he sits down. And a few minutes later, I had given glasses to somebody, mm-hmm. and Donnie walked back over and he says, were those glasses? And I said, yeah, they're readers. I mean, you know, we carry sure. some readers. And he said, could I have a pair? Well, absolutely. So he tried on a couple of pairs. He found a pair that he could read with. And he says, can I have one of those Bibles now?
Aww.
And as we're pulling out, we have a picture of him sitting. There was like a half wall, if you will, mm-hmm. off this property. And as we're pulling out, we have a picture of Donnie sitting there with the glasses on, reading the Bible. And that was my second experience with Donnie. And then, but after a while, because bipolar often doesn't show itself all the time, is that, you know, we're seeing Donnie. I'm asking, why are you out here? You don't seem right. to.
You have a degree. You've had yeah, prestigious jobs.
You've done all these things, and why? You know, why are you out here? And the reality at that time, I'm not sure he really fully knew sure. why he was out there. He knew things weren't right.
Right.
But is that
with,
fair to say?
With bipolar, a lot of things is really hazy. You really, when you get manic, you really forget. Yeah, like, you know, before I really got on this medication, it was like, you know, who are you talking to? Mm. Yeah, because really, you hear voices. And
did it just kind of happen to you? Because I feel like you didn't have it when you were
it was
younger,
later in life, and of, they said it's unusual, but it does place. Happen. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, unfortunately, it just happened later in life. And the thing about it is, without this Abilify, it's very frustrating because it's hard to diagnose. There's like three series of bipolar.
Okay.
And it's hard for people very reluctant to take their medication. Now, I'm one of those people, so I'm not very unusual as far as the illness goes. But as far as maintaining it, because the drug that I'm on now is, it's $3,000
a shot. $3,000
a shot? $3,000 a shot.
How does anybody afford that?
I get assistance. Matthew said, I'm going to get assistance to the pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
No, I'm going to stop on that just for a second because I want people to understand what we just said.
This is a lot. Wow.
Once a month, $3,000. You're homeless.
That's more than my mortgage.
Okay. Now, here's what's an interesting fact is that to incarcerate a homeless person, studies have shown costs $45,000 to $55,000 a year to do that. If we use money more wisely, now we have someone who is on his medication, productive member of society, caring for himself. The point is we got to better invest how we're spending money, you know, and fortunately for Donnie is it went through some various medications before we got to
the right ones
this particular helped. One that worked. Right. And that's true with most people. And the challenges are two things. One, when you're homeless, you're moving constantly. So for us to track you down and make sure you make your doctor's appointment
right.
and we can go and we can track how the medication's working is very difficult. Well, Donnie came into worked his way into our transitional housing. So in that, we were able to have constant contact with them and we were able to sit there and see. I mean, there was times, I don't know if you recall, there would be times where Donnie would freeze.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, I'd walk outside, he's doing this, mm-hmm. and I'd go, Donnie, You go, yeah, you start talking to me again like nothing's happening. But he was frozen in that place.
Probably trying to get God's attention because, yeah. I mean, it's very terrifying
to know
what you've come from and to know where you are.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people there to help you. But I really didn't know how to explain it, you know, that,
right.
With the medication, the doctors gave me medication. And when I saw my psychiatrist a couple of days ago, they were going, you know, we wish we could get more people on this medication.
Mm.
It's just so hard to get them to come in because it's a rigmarole of paperwork.
Mm.
You know, and luckily, I mean, you know, that's one of the things I try to count. Somebody asked me, what all do y'all do? I said, it's amazing what they do in the office. I have from Social Security cards to getting somebody on a pharmaceutical. I mean, it takes a lot of love.
Absolutely, a lot of love.
Because it's not very rewarding because so many people slip off of it. You know, so many people just get lost in the cracks, but they take their time.
Donnie, how has your life changed since you've been on the medication, since you've met Scott and the team at Matthew's Hope? Are you today?
I've put away several $1,000s in savings.
Good job. Wow.
I'm active in the church, you know, back with the church family. I just started working for Garden Theater.
Downtown Winter Garden.
Right. It's a part-time position. And I'm getting a little disability for the offset of what the bipolar has done.
And what do you do at the Garden Theater for them?
I start off as a volunteer, ushering, doing concessions, ticket taking. And I found I just really want to support the arts. You know, it's just something I like doing. I'm not very fluent in the arts, but I enjoy the theater and enjoy seeing the people. You know, they're so very thankful of people that will volunteer. And fortunately, a lady that was previously used to work at Matthew's Hope, Nancy Deskins, really gave me the shoe in. I said, I'd really like to do that. And I know Nancy doesn't. So she took me right up there personally, introduced me to the house manager and one of the production directors. And then I started from there. I said, you know, Nancy, I'd really like to get involved in production, you know, behind the scenes, what goes on behind a show. And she took me over to the production facility, and William, the production director, said, yeah, we could use this volunteer. So I started painting.
Okay.
And from painting, he said, are you looking for a job? I said, if you're hiring.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah.
So I started from there, and then we were loading up the truck to do a load in for the Pippin show.
Okay.
And he said, how about doing spots? I said, sure, but I've never done it before. So now I'm doing spotlights for the production of Pippin.
And that's very focus driven, right? Like,
yeah, it's hard. It's hard to get along having blank spaces.
Yeah, definitely. I can't even imagine.
Which my life's been full of.
Sure. Well, that's amazing.
I'm glad people can laugh about it because, you know, it's better than crying.
People that are listening today or watching that when I laugh, I'm not laughing at Donnie. It's the joy of Donnie being able to come to terms with something he had no control of. And really
that can happen to anybody.
Yeah. It could happen honestly, to anyone. I mean, like, you know, mental illness is not something you plan on.
Right.
You know, and it can
you're
come out
born
of nowhere.
With it or like Donnie, it happens.
We, you know, each of us have, you know, our quirks and stuff, but sometimes there's something more. And I think the important thing to take from this also is often the people that need it the most can't afford it or have access to it. Number two is that once Donnie was able to get stabled out, his whole future changed completely. Cause there was a point where I'm going, you know, we may just have Donnie for the rest of our lives. Should I take him as a deduction on my taxes? What do I do?
I mean, yeah. One of the things I did is I prepared for, you know, my funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went ahead and took care of the funeral arrangements. Mm-hmm. Matthew's Hope helped me do that.
Okay.
And
was a different set of mindset too.
Sure.
He was also very focused on that at one time. It's nice that he has, you know, certain things taken care of. But the reality is all he could think of for a while was, I got to prepare for my death.
Ugh.
And so it was almost constant. And it's like, it was just that drive. I got to do this.
Yeah.
and to watch him recapture his life, you know, I have to admit, I take some personal joy in that, because as Donnie's even recognized, he's been around long enough that he has seen people come and go. But the bottom line is he put in the work. He didn't always like what was going on, but he recognized that there were people around him that loved him and cared for him, and was willing to work alongside him, walk alongside this journey with him.
That's great.
Yeah. One thing about Matthew said, they won't let you fail. It's kind of, it's very, very driven program. It's
they're right by you.
You're going to be here 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. You're going to go to a facility to find your higher power. You're going to clock out to do this, and you're not going to do that. So it's
we're there to help you.
So really, it drives you. It's frustrating at first. It's a little scary, and then it's like, oh my God, what today?
So John, let's talk about that a little bit. Where are you living right now?
I'm living in one of Matthew's transitional houses.
And what does that mean? Are you in the Moving Forward program? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm in the Moving Forward. And basically, it's structured to get you situated to move out on your own, which I'm preparing for. And, it's not rent, but it's program fees, which you kind of participate with points and then I have a little bit of a pension. So they kind of offset a little bit where I'm paying for. It's like being on your own, but not quite. Mm-hmm. And for them, there's different levels that, now maybe going into more of a graduate program where basically
it's exciting
paying bills and making my own schedule, a little more power of my own schedule. Mm-hmm. A little more flexibility and, really what people have to encounter in their day-to-day lives that don't have bipolar or not homeless.
They're just
kind of like you're getting ready for every day.
They're walking beside you and helping you take those steps to get you on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's every day is something else you can try to improve on, mm-hmm. Whether it's making a meeting or making your own appointments or not having to be reminded, which, happens both.
For sure.
I get reminded a lot sometimes. Yeah.
No, that's great. I love that. And what makes Don a good candidate for this program?
Initially I would have said he was an excellent, my initial assessment was he was an excellent person for this program. My follow-up assessment was, oh my God, what have we done? Because it was what's this guy's end game going to be? Mm-hmm. When we bring somebody in, we always say, housing people is easy. Okay. We got lined up people call every day. I need a house. Okay. No, you need more than that. But
instead of just throwing somebody in a house, okay, are you capable of taking care of that? Are you capable of keeping it? Are you capable?
You're going to participate in the process. You got to trust the process. And so then it was, okay, now we've got him here. Now what? I mean, his situation is a little bit more extreme from the standpoint that we had to identify first what's going on with him.
Because he didn't necessarily know at the time, right? Don, you knew something was happening, but not sure what it was. You hadn't been diagnosed yet.
With the bipolar or the...
Yeah. With the bipolar.
I was diagnosed probably over 10 years ago.
Okay.
But
you didn't have the medication to help you through the...
No.
So trying to figure out how his particular level of bipolar needed to be addressed. Because again, when people talk about mental illness, it's a wide brush, a wide stroke they use. I am categorized as mentally ill because of my depression I've dealt with and the fact that I try to take my life and things like that. So I'm in that same boat, but it looks different. Both of us look different. And then you throw someone else over here who literally is full blown schizophrenic, and I think the one thing that I want to bring up today too, as well, is that often Donnie's appearance and appearance of folks that are dealing with mental illness looks like some type of addiction. Because
like they're on alcohol or drugs.
Because they wander off mentally. Sometimes they just switch that way and this way, and people go, oh, they must be drugged up. Mm-hmm. And the reality of it is I hear all the time all these drug addicts. I said, no, what I've got is a whole lot of people with some level of mental illness that we need to address. And if we address it properly, if we invest in these people, they can go on and won't need to be fully cared for the rest of their life. I see Donnie living a very independent life going forward. He's getting closer by the day.
I would never guess that he was homeless or housed.
No. You just wouldn't.
That's another thing about Matthew Stuff. They won't let you normal. Walk around disheveled. So a lot of it's grooming for Matthew's Hope, you know, but it's one thing I was thinking when Scott was talking is like, I really like the ability. Now I'm kind of like giving back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we're down to one transit bus. Okay. Normally we have two. And actually I've gone from, you know, looking for a pair of clean jeans to now I'm driving the bus. Wow. To pick up guys that want to come over and get the outreach. And they're very thankful. At the end of the day, they're like, Don, you only had one bus and we knew you'd come.
Wow.
And he gets it. And he gets the nice thing about it is when I have to admit, you know, I bounce back and forth between our campuses. And when they first said Donnie's driving the bus, I'm going, what? Did anybody think they might want to ask me about that one?
Or the insurance broker.
And the challenge is, I mean, there's a lot to remember on our routes. And Donnie just nailed it. He just flat out nailed it. And then, unfortunately, like he mentioned, we're a bus down right now. It needs about $12,000 worth of work. And we're not sitting on an extra $12,000 right now. We just don't have it. So we have had to try to do as much with a single bus. That means there's only one way to do that is to speed up the process and be very, very disciplined in making your stops and getting people moving. Mm-hmm. And Donnie has been able to do that. Mm-hmm. really, we haven't had to ask much of him except to say, this is what we got to get done, Don. And he's getting it done. And so I can't speak for him, but I see the joy in him when he's able to kind of reach back to the next guy behind and pull them forward.
Right.
So that's pretty cool to see.
Scott, do you think mental illness should be treated any differently than any other treatable illness?
No. I mean, look, if Donnie had cancer, right, we would make sure he saw someone that was a cancer specialist and we would try to figure that out.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, mental illness does not get the attention it deserves. And what's interesting is I remember when I was in seminary, one of my seminary professors told me, he said, Scott, you need to know that 1 in 7 of your folks in your church suffer from some level of psychosis. Mm-hmm. And that seemed crazy to me at the time. Doing this for the last 20 years, he's nailed it. Because in society now, it all shows differently. Mm-hmm. Some may never get diagnosed properly, but they have these huge mood swings. Okay. I personally know that I am manic at times and I'm able to recognize it. And I'll even tease about it sometimes. Like I'm having a manic day, man. Let's get it done. Because right. I got like a firecracker up my backside. I get 10 times many things. But there's also a danger in that as well. Mm. I think that as the longer you deal with it, you kind of recognize certain things in yourself and you know how to manage it better, whether it's with medications or meeting with a psychiatrist or what have you. There's so many things that go into this and we just simply, we don't pay attention to it. Unfortunately, our state legislators have not paid attention to it either. Mm. They just, you know, put homeless in one big box and throw them all down that tube and there it goes.
Right. So both mental illness and homelessness come with many stigmas in our society. What do you wish more people knew about both?
Well, I think I wish more people would recognize the fact that there is help, but the help is very expensive. And so we need to have people advocate alongside of us with the general public, with the folk, how you cast your vote, to say, look, we need to address these things because if we don't, we're not that far off. When you consider Florida is the third largest homeless population in the country and Central Florida has the fastest growing homeless population, it's fair to say if statistics are true, then a bunch of those folks need some mental health care.
Definitely.
And locking them up is not the answer.
Right, right.
Okay. And often if they get locked up, somehow their medications come up missing. And next thing you know, they can't get their medications because they're also limited on how much medication you can get. Now, Donnie's in a great situation with us right now is that he goes in once a month, you know, but other people are having to take something daily or weekly.
And that's tough. Yeah.
And so that makes it really tough and it needs to be regulated and it needed, but it can be done.
Yeah.
We just make things a lot harder than they have to be.
Definitely. Donnie, I'm going to ask you to both mental illness and homelessness come with many stigmas in our society. What do you wish more people knew about both?
There's a cure. There's a cure with good medications, but it takes a regimen of really people that are willing to, advocate. I don't find it a stigma to me personally, just because I've had it for so long.
Okay. Like,
but I understand that a lot. It's different science. It's not an exact science, like, you know, if you got a broken arm or if you have a,
right,
you know, appendix problem.
There's just one solution. Like you mentioned, you were on several medications prior to the shot. Was that right?
Oh, yeah. Everything from Haldol to Depakote.
Mm.
And then this AstraZeneca stuff came out with Abilify. And the doctor was like, I can give you a shot once a month. Mm-hmm. Or we can you can go to a pill regimen. I said, oh, give me the shot.
Yeah.
So, Scott, the Garden Theater where Donnie works recently lost a huge chunk of funding. Do you worry that when people cut funds like this for the arts and other programs, that that's going to trickle down and impact people like Donnie?
I do, because...
So it's not just hurting, you know, the Garden Theater.
It's not just hurting the Garden Theater. I mean, first off, I want to commend the Garden Theater and thank Nancy, because what she did is she advocated also in a way of saying, here...
Yes.
Put Donnie in front of the right people. And then those people being open-minded enough to sit there and go, you know, we'll take a shot with the guy.
Absolutely.
Okay. My hope is that through this, Donnie is more prepared for whatever is next. But anytime any kind of funding is cut in every area, it affects all the others at the same time. Some of the reasons things were cut are kind of ridiculous, but that's another, I'm not even sure that's a Matthew's Hope, event or episode, but it does worry me, because I think that, you know, when you think of some place, those of us that live in this community or live in a community that are similar, that have a local theater and what have you, a lot of times people go, well, why give any money to the arts? I mean, you know, for crying out loud, all they're doing is going up there and doing this. Okay, you know what? Take the arts away and you think life is miserable now. Watch what's going to happen when that happens. So I worry about it on a couple different levels, because I also worry about it as from a mental health standpoint. Going to the theater is a way of checking out for a little while, and not, you know, all of us. If, you know, maybe you're one of those special people that never, you know, last night I was sitting there. I barely could sleep last night because I was signing a paper today that basically committed me to $1 million. And it kind of made my mouth go dry. And then I'm laying there in bed going, you know, I don't have anything worth $1 million. But for us to continue Matthew's Hope, especially through these difficult times when funding is down, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing everything I can. And Shelley's going to make sure she's doing everything she can, as well as the rest of our team, to make sure that people like Donnie that are doing the work, coming in tune with themselves, that no matter what happens with Matthew's Hope, we've done everything we can for this guy. Okay. And I feel very confident about that, that we've done that.
Donnie, what would you like to say to people who are listening, watching, or those who may be on teetering, volunteering, or maybe they're thinking about doing a donation, monthly donation we talked about is very beneficial for the program at Matthew's Hope. What would you say to them? How has it changed you, or anything you'd like to add?
I just think that it's good to get in territories that are unknown, and I think it's you'll be rewarded your adventurous side you didn't know you had. I think that when you see a smile from a face that you may have, you know, been scared of a week or two ago, but give them a little help and the reward you get, I think you'll find more. And money can't buy that.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah. So something I've said lately is, you know, I've and I've always thought it, but I don't know that I've said it publicly until to more recently, is that I've always looked at our donors as investors, and investors should expect a return on their investment. So whatever you're giving to, you should be able to see something happening that says, okay, my money was well used. They were good stewards of it. Well, here's your return on investment.
Yes.
You invested into this gentleman, and his whole life is changing because of it. So one, I give thanks, but two, want people to understand that without continued funding, this doesn't happen.
No.
And so whatever you're giving your money to, look at what your return investment is. People like to look at what people are being paid and you know, how things are being spent in this thing, but look at what the ultimate return on investment is. And ours is people.
Yes. And real faces.
And there's not a
of homelessness is
more
right
valuable
here with
thing
us.
Than people.
Definitely. And for those of you who are listening and not able to see, I was just telling Donnie before we started that I look at him and I don't know what it is, but your eyes just remind me of my father, and you're just, I feel like you're such a beautiful soul. And I'm so grateful that you have found Matthew's Hope, because where would you be today if you didn't?
I wouldn't be at the Garden Theater. But no, there's a lot of other places that was, Matthew's Hope, and then you got Hopelessness.
Welcome back to episode 64. Shelley, when we last talked with Donnie, he was doing great and he was working at a local theater in Winter Garden. What has happened since then?
Well, the sad thing is the theater closed shortly after that and he was laid off.
Mm.
So, and that was devastating for the local community, but it was specifically devastating for Donnie, and he was so sad and so disappointed.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. I think a lot of his life recovering, mm-hmm. for lack of a better way of saying that, you know, is that the theater played a role in that,
mm-hmm.
that his interaction with people and just feeling, I think for him, was a feeling of value.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he really gained a lot of, or just left me, a lot of self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And his role was pretty technical too.
It was
talking, mm-hmm. you know, he did the lights and the sounds and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's very like focused technical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's interesting that sometimes when you talk about someone who has the challenges that Donnie has had, there's this other part of it's almost genius.
Mm-hmm. Okay? For sure.
And I think we miss that a lot when we think of people, whether it's special needs or mental illness. There's again, so much more. You know, I can remember as a kid, my grandmother telling me, you know, don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're pretty good at that.
Yeah.
But when you open that book, again, whether it's someone with special needs, and in a way it's like a special need, mm-hmm. you know, but to see, just like I said, to see that light go on, to see him enjoying and be able to share with you what his day was like, you know, what he was doing at work. For someone who had not been working anywhere for quite some time.
Shelley, what did Donnie do after the theater closed?
He came and started, you know, working more around Matthew's Hope again, and, you know, throwing in, you know, himself just to kind of cover up the fact that he wasn't working at the theater, throwing himself towards Matthew's Hope again. Not that he'd ever stepped away, but gotcha. He was doing more, more hours at Matthew's Hope, more driving the bus, more, you know, picking up donations and things like that. You know, and it's been good for him, mm-hmm. to have that, for us to be there. And that's what's such a big part of Matthew's Hope, is we're not just there to help people. We're there to help them through stuff. We're not just there to help them in the moment and what they need and the immediate need. We're there to walk them through stuff.
It's all a part of that moving forward and continuing moving forward, you know, that we talk about. It's not just a magazine name. It's really a basis of our ministry and our outreach. And what's interesting is that we had, due to some issues that another employee was having, health issues wise, there were little areas that we realized, hey, we need somebody to help us with this. Mm-hmm. And what was really cool about it was that we called upon Donnie to do these things without a whole lot of explanation. He just got in there and did it.
Wow.
And you know, it's interesting. I still won't let him wash the inside of my windows.
I remember the call that we made to you when we said, well, I don't even know why we called you. And it really had nothing to do with the fact that Donnie was going to be driving. And yeah. I heard your pause and I was like, we're either in a whole lot of trouble.
Please elaborate. I need to know more about the story.
Well, I think I actually said, Donnie's driving.
Yeah.
And trying to not wreck my truck. Processing that, because I think I blacked out for a minute. Donnie's a good driver. He's very conscious of everything around him. And he's greeting people and he's one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. See, there's people who know him from the street. Mm. And so when suddenly Donnie's behind the wheel and he's popping to picking people up to bring him into the outreach center a couple times a week, they're being greeted by one of their own.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of cool.
I can't imagine what kind of hope that might give somebody
who
really wants to try and take those steps moving forward like Donnie did.
You know, I think it's impossible for someone who hasn't walked in those shoes.
Not yet.
Like most things in life, we judge, when I say we as a society, we often make judgments of things we know nothing about and have no way of knowing anything about. You know, one of my least favorite things anybody ever says. And I tell my staff, don't do it. Don't ever say you understand. Because no matter how it might have looked similar,
what you
went through, you can't get deep enough in somebody's head and heart to understand how they dealt, what kind of trauma it caused for them. And so, but that said, when you see the pride, I mean, he's being handed the keys to those buses now are about 130,000 new. Okay, and the responsibility of getting individuals to and fro.
Yeah.
Does anybody say to and fro?
They do. That was,
I think maybe because
you brought it back.
Yeah, there you go. But back and forth.
It's like, where'd that come from?
You gals. We're having such a swell time. To watch it for me, okay, reminds me when my kids like took their first steps and said their first words and stuff. It's almost like that because it's like the self-discovery that's going on. Donnie knows who he was. He knows what he's done. And then there's this like space and time that he just simply existed. Okay. And now he's back in the saddle, so to speak. There, another thing we don't say, well, I'm just kicking him out of the park right now. Right. Hit that one.
You from Texas?
Yeah, I don't know where I'm from.
I'm going to cut in a little bit here. Shelly, you guys actually have some big news that you're going to be giving Donnie tomorrow. Can you share with us what that is?
I can. I'm about to cry. We're actually going to hire him.
Wow.
Yeah, he has no idea. He has asked everybody around, except for me and Shannon, do you think they're ever going to really hire me? And we've just been waiting for the right time. And I'm just really excited because I know how much he loves Matthew's Hope. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is going to be a really good transition for him.
And what will he be doing when he's employed there?
So really, he's just going to be doing what he's been doing.
But he's going to get
paid. But he's going to get paid. Yes.
And he's kind of earned his spot.
He has, for sure.
Okay. I mean, so, you know, some people say, well, they're just letting him do what they were letting him do before. That simplifies it way too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there is more responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're an employee of Matthew's Hope, that carries, whether people believe or not, carries a lot of responsibility.
It does. Yeah.
We have to be on our toes all the time, thinking about what we're saying, how we're saying, who's watching us do that, what our guests are doing, right, wrong, or indifferent, what the local government is saying about us, it's constant, just like you feel like you're under this microscope about to catch on fire because it's so focused on you sometimes. I think that's fair to say that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot to it, but he has earned that responsibility that we trust him that he will represent us in a very positive way.
Well, and he's shown that to us. You know, one of the duties that Donnie has had that, you know, he's going to continue to do is he goes to Key Foods. They have donated to us for the last several months, almost a year. And he goes and picks up that donation every Monday and every Wednesday. And he came to us and said, hey, I really would like to give them a thank you card. And he initiated getting a thank you card and taking it to them and thanking them for everything they do for Matthew's Hope. That is that is not a common thing these days.
No, first off, it's very thoughtful.
He is very thoughtful.
You know, if anybody out there didn't get a Christmas card from me, it's because it's not that you're not on the list. There isn't a list. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Donnie, he's in the Moving Forward program. Where is he at with that journey?
He, as a graduate, as an employee, he's taken that next step of independence. I mean, now it's kind of like, you know, first off, he has proven whenever, it's not the first time we've hired a graduate. That's been done. But once that happens, you are no longer a guest. You're an employee. So how you conduct yourself with the guest, how you can conduct yourself everywhere, because it becomes we're a lot smaller than we look. Most people know the local people know staff. And believe me, if one says something or does something that somebody doesn't like, we will hear.
We hear it. Sure, of course.
We hear about it. Yeah. So he's taken on that responsibility. And though right now, because this is just happening, he doesn't know it's happening. There was no plans of moving out yet or anything. But those are all things that we'll be looking at, is helping him get into.
So right now he lives into the
trench. He's in one of our, yes. And we do have a couple staff members that live on our campuses and what have you, or housing. And because they're there to just kind of be there. But at the same time,
he may be that person. We haven't for sure decided that yet, but he may be that person because he's got that attention to detail and that care for Matthew's Hope.
And this is a guy that over a year ago would walk outside to his front yard in the middle of the night and sing or point.
Yeah.
Right? We would get calls sometimes and say, you know, he's not causing any trouble, but there's a guy out front and he's just kind of, you know, he's either singing or he's pointing at something that nobody sees. And we go, okay, it's Donnie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to our mental health team and our medical team for not giving up. Mm-hmm. Because if I'm completely honest, I had gotten to the point where I go, guys, what are we going to do?
We're going to keep him forever.
How do we keep him forever? We don't do that. We're not in a position to do that. We're, you know, he's taking up a spot that somebody else could possibly become independent, self-sufficient. And here, Donnie has become self-sufficient, mm-hmm. independent. And you're going, mm-hmm. okay. So that's by the grace of God. And I think, I won't take a lot of credit there. I kind of went along with things. Mm-hmm. I would sit there and say to Shelley or Shannon, I'd say, well, you know, if you can deal with this, then
well, and you know, and I'll
trust you.
That's where I'll give Shannon credit, because she was really, she pushed him. She pushed him more than he's probably been pushed in a while, because people were afraid that he was so fragile. Mm.
And then, of course, I have Charlene at home, who was with me when we first found him.
Yeah.
And she's in my ear, you know, Donnie's capable of more. Donnie can do this. Donnie can do that. And I'm sitting there going, Charlene, we're not even over in Orange County all the time. You know what? I don't disagree with you, but I'm not there.
So
you know?
Why do you think it is so important to introduce people to guests like Donnie through the Real Faces of Homelessness series?
I think people need to see the stories. It's, you know, we can tell you the numbers all day long. And honestly, I am not a numbers person. And to me, that's boring. I would much rather hear the heartfelt stories.
Yeah. First off, people are not numbers. Okay.
Correct.
One of the biggest challenges we have is the lack of people able to understand all that Matthew's Hope does. Unless you've taken a tour, you know, it's really difficult to do. And even then, spending 2 hours with me, where I can give you every in and out I can think of in a 2 hour period,
you still won't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's difficult. Like when we have to do reporting,
or we're asked to, to do a grant because everything's based on, what's your matrix for this and what's this and what's your success rate and all that. And we're about people and individuals. And I think I would personally have a difficult time standing before my God when it's all said and done and having him look at me and say, why'd you give up?
Most people,
I'm even a little bit ashamed of it now that I was so on the edge of just giving up.
But most people would, they would see him in the state that he is and just give up on him. Yeah. So why didn't you guys give up on him?
We always just saw that possibility because he had enough of his wits about him to where when he told us stories of his, of how, who he was, before he received this diagnosis that he has, they were so real, you could not believe it. And so you knew he was in there. And how did he go from there to here?
And the way he would articulate himself.
Yes.
He's an intelligent man. So I compare it to this. Okay. The fire wasn't burning, but the pilot light never went out. And his mental illness really didn't show himself initially. We saw little things, but you see things like that from pretty much all homeless people, because I've often said, if you didn't have a mental health issue before you became homeless, you will once you become homeless. Sure. So that part wasn't it. But as it started to just, show itself further, that was when we went, now what?
Mom.
Okay.
So for all of those who look down on those experiencing homelessness and they call them a lost cause, who made their mistakes and they deserve, their fate and why they're homeless. How many more Donnies are out there?
Hey.
There's no telling.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
Right, right.
I wouldn't know where to start. Now, what I tell those people is be very careful of that glass house you're throwing from because all of us have something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some of us haven't come to terms with it. Maybe some of us just keep pretending like we don't know, but all of us have something that someone else thinks is wrong with us or whatever it is, personality disorder, whatever. And I would just sit there and say, the one thing that I'm going to say is, I don't call myself a Christian. I call myself a Christ follower. What I will say is that, by the grace of God, we hung in there. And that everyone, no matter what you may think, is a child of God. And now if you want to take God out of it, okay, everyone is somebody's son, daughter, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, grandfather, grandmother. Somebody, there was a time when that person was born, when someone was overjoyed.
Yep.
And didn't have a choice in what was next. But my point being more than anything else is before you judge that book again, you might want to turn a page or two because you might find it to be really damn interesting. And then you might find there's something there that your life would have lacked had you not known.
Definitely.
And I will tell you, knowing Donnie and some of these other folks have made my life richer in ways that there was no way I could get any other way. It's just not possible. There was just no way to find that richness in life.
Well, I thank both of you and your team for continuing with Donnie and for helping him and helping him build that. Well, he's getting there, right?
It's going to be fun watching the next chapter of the story unfold. Yeah,
for sure.
And here's the cool thing is God's allowing us to be in the audience of his life.
Yeah,
right.
And that's a pretty, it's kind of like front row seats to one of the best shows you're ever going to be part of.
That is so great. Well, if you are like me and want to help more people like Donnie, we invite you to do that. It's easy as liking, sharing, subscribing, being a donor every month, or coming to volunteer even. You can get all the information on the social media or Matthew's Hope social media or their website. And we hope to see you next episode. Thank you.